This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to episode number 362 of the Action Movie Guys Podcast. I'm your host, Nate, and this is my co-host,
Alex Figueroa.
And Alex, on this episode, we're going to be wrapping up another one of our months. You know, every month we have a theme, either a star or a genre of movies. And this month's genre was Steven Seagal. He's a genre to himself. And we're going to be wrapping this up with a movie from 1988 called Above the Law, directed by Andrew Davis, who we recently discovered was a secret action movie guys director who's done some movies we like. So we're going to be taking a look at this movie. I got a couple of little fun facts about our little month here with Seagal, and then we're going to jump right into the review. Now, before we do, you know, I got to ask, A, had you heard of this movie? And B, had you seen this movie before this?
Well, I heard of this movie. I never seen this movie. I heard of it. But I'm going to say as a whole, the Steven Seagal month, I've been a little disappointed. I was 50-50 with a lot of movies.
Uneven. We'll call this month uneven.
It's an uneven Seagal month.
Uneven Seagal. I like that. Uneven Seagal. Pretty good. He's not Steven. He's uneven. Yeah, I think you're right. I agree with that statement. I think especially coming off of Mel Gibson month.
We got
spoiled. A banger month. Jean-Claude Van Damme month was a banger month. Like, you know, I didn't like The Quest, but I like the other movies we did. They were good. And this month, we got off to a really good start. Under Siege was awesome. Out for Justice was secretly awesome. And we came up to Hard to Kill, which was not so awesome. And now we're at Above the Law. So we're going to give you our 2 cents. Now, before we do, a couple things about this movie that I want to tell you before I give you the Rotten Tomato scores. Number one, this was Steven Seagal's first movie. This was his debut.
Oh, okay.
Yes, 1988, first film. Now, funny thing is, and I did not do this intentionally, and I didn't even realize that I did this. Of the four movies we did for Steven Seagal month, four of his first five movies that he ever made. So the only one we didn't do was his third movie. This was his first movie and we did it. Hard to Kill was his second movie ever. And we did that last week.
Okay.
The third movie was a movie called Marked for Death and we did not do that one.
I heard that was good.
Well, I read the plot and it made me laugh. So I was like, I wish we would have done it. It was like about Jamaican drug lords and voodoo and I'm like, oh, frick.
I remember I heard a lot of people said Marked for Death is a good movie.
Yeah. So we didn't do Marked for Death. Okay. And then his fourth movie was Out for Justice and his fifth movie was Under Siege. So we did four of his first five. Maybe one day we'll do Marked for Death. I have to think of a theme that I could fit it into.
Jamaican cartels.
Movies with three word titles. I mean, we're doing one word titles later. So there you go. So maybe we'll do that. But anyway, also, he was a co-writer on this movie with the director, Andrew Davis. And you would know this just by watching it. He made sure to include a lot of his real life into this storyline, like the whole thing about him moving to Japan and teaching at a school. Now, that's all real. Like if you look up Steven Seagal's like biography, that really happened when he was 17. He went to Japan and trained, and then he became a trainer at Aikido. He's like a seventh degree black belt or whatever. Now the part where it gets fake is where the CIA recruited him. That didn't really happen. But you know, he included some of his real life. So a couple of little fun facts there. Co-wrote it, first movie ever. And let me give you some Rotten Tomato scores for this. You tell me if you're surprised by these scores, because I'll tell you right now, I'm not. This has a 50% from the critics and a 48 from the audience liked it less than the critics. Do you find those numbers surprising?
No, I'm not. I'm not at all. Interesting.
Yeah.
But I'm not surprised.
Agree. Not surprising. So we've gone down a little bit this month. But hey, you know what? Maybe this movie's good. Maybe we disagree with the critics. I don't know. I've never seen this movie. This was a first time watch for me. I've heard of it. It has a good cover. You know, he looks serious. He has a gun. I'm like, oh, okay. Above the Law. So let's talk about it. Starting off with our lead character. Of course, he has a name like Nico Toscani. He is a Sicilian immigrant guy who, as I just said, trained in a dojo, then becomes recruited by the CIA, joins the CIA, and then we take it from there. Alex, what did you think?
Nico, you know, I'm not going to lie. I kind of like the character. You know, it's funny. Like, you didn't, like, I thought it was interesting, the story at the beginning. It kind of, to me, started the movie. I said, wow. I was like, all right, this is pretty cool. But I'm like, damn, they got some pretty good CGI to put this dude young in in black and white footages. And I was like,
sideburns, and they used real pictures.
green sideburns. And I was like, wow. I was like, this is some good stuff. But now that you say he's for real, I guess those were real shots.
Yeah, they were just real pictures of him.
Yeah, learning Japanese. And so I was like, wow. So now knowing that, I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. I like the character, family man. He's a Chicago PD cop. I think he's a Chicago PD, right?
Right.
Yeah, and he has a partner, Pam Grier, right? She's a great actress. They were, you know what's fun? You know what's crazy? I know his acting is bad. Like, his acting is bad. But again, he gets these roles that I imagine the other actors in it that would have enhanced the movie way better. And I'm like, that's kind of crazy. But we're not judging Steven Seagal in this part.
Yeah, we don't judge the acting for the character. We just like to mention it.
In terms of the character himself, I like the character. He's a family man. He's above the law. Didn't I say last episode or two episodes before? I said some character in this movie is going to use the above the law.
And it's him.
And they did. And I said, that's an 80s trope all over, man, when they use the title. And I like it. Anyway, very above the law. He gets his man and he takes no for an answer. He's like he's very against the grain. Like, they do not tell him he can't do this because he's like, F you, mother effer. I'm going to go do it. So again, the character himself, I kind of liked him. I liked him in this movie. So I'm not going to slap. Well, I'm going to give the character a 4. I think he's a great character. I'm going to give him he's a 4. I think if this was rewritten now, they could make him a 5. Yeah. I think we could make him a 5, but I give him a 4.
I give him a 3.
Oh.
Yeah. I think, you know what it is? I don't disagree necessarily with anything you said. I just found the character to be, you're right. If there were some rewrites from like actual screenwriters other than Steven Seagal, I think it would be better. Because he's just so...
One note.
It's just like,
I knew it.
Generic. Yeah. He's stale. Generic. He's okay. And you know, to me, generic is at least worth a 3. It's at least when you get below generic, that's when I start to be like, what is this? So he didn't. You're right. He's a cop. I do like his dynamic with Pam Grier. Like, I like them together in the scenes that they're in.
Yeah,
you could tell they're like buddies and they work together. I liked it. Him and his wife, Sharon Stone, by the way. Sharon Stone just comes out of nowhere. Gorgeous. No chemistry between those two. Like, they do not seem like they're married. Him and the lady he was getting a divorce from in Out for Justice had better chemistry than him and Sharon Stone. But I love Sharon Stone. Gorgeous. She's in it a little bit, but no chemistry there. You're right. Like, he is a family man, but keeps doing stuff to like really kind of put them in jeopardy.
Pretty much.
Like, are these the best decisions? No. He's one of those like, I must do this. No matter what, which, okay, it's admirable on one sense, but I just wish there was a little bit more there where he didn't ever seem conflicted about anything. You know what I mean? That might have helped. As such, I gave him a 3. You know, it's part hilarious when he's at the beginning and he's in the dojo teaching them and he might be speaking Japanese, but I think he was just making up sounds. I don't think he was actually, he's like,
he sounded like Anakin.
He's not speaking Japanese. He's just making noises that sound Japanese. Yes, I don't want that.
He sounded like Anakin talking to Watto.
Yeah, if you notice, they didn't even put subtitles or anything. He's just making noises. That part was hilarious to me. And he's just flipping people over. He's not like, you know, they're not really doing anything that exciting. So that was funny. Anyway, I gave him a 3. You gave him a 4. All right, let's talk about our main villain. He's played by an actor named Henry Silva. He's CIA agent Kurt Zagan. What a dumb name, but Zagan, Z-A-G-O-N. What did you think of him?
That's the one that looked like he had plastic surgery in his face?
Yes, his face his face looks like a mask. Yeah.
It looks like he's wearing a mask. I thought he played prune face. Is it Tracy?
Oh, no. He played in a lot of stuff.
Oh. Was he prune face? He looked like prune face.
Let me see. I have his filmography here.
Yes! Dick Tracy! Dick, the Influence?
He was The Influence, though.
Who's that?
I don't know. look, he's an Alan Quartermain in The Lost City of Gold.
Oh, jeez.
Escape from the Bronx. What are these movies?
I thought
I'd seen this guy before, but I don't know him from any of those movies. I'll tell you that right now.
Well, I literally thought I knew he was in Dick Tracy for something, but I knew he was.
He was Boxing Spectator number 1 in Ocean's 11. There you go. Okay. He hasn't done it. I don't know. I don't know this guy, I guess. I thought I knew him, but I don't really know him.
Well, look, I gave him a 3. I thought he was good. I thought the character was very good, very interesting. You know what the character reminded me of? He reminded me of William Stryker from X-Men, right? He goes to all these places and he takes what he needs and he uses the army to do his dirty work. And I was like, that is so William Stryker, but not this plastic face. Like, I love the beginning, right? When he's like, who took my drugs? And then he's like, I don't know. He was like, we're going to start cutting off your feet. We're going to put it over there. And then you got Steve Seagal going, what the fuck are you doing, man? And I was like, what is this? I was like, this is getting good.
No torture on my watch.
Yeah, you ain't doing nothing. And I was like, oh my God, Steve Seagal is going to hit him with the clothesline of death. Because you know, like, he's been clotheslining everybody. And I was like, oh my God, he's going to get it. Then you got my man, what's his name? Fox. Jay Fox, right? His close friend in the army, right? He was like, don't do it. Don't blow it for us, man. He's like, what the fuck is he doing? I'm like, oh my God, it's going to get good. And then he took his knife. He's like, you better get out of my business. And I said, you don't do that to Seagal because you're going to get clotheslined. And it happened, right? The guy was about to stab him and then he intervened, took the knife in 2 seconds. Because he showed you his 8-degree black belt in the beginning. So you knew he meant business. And I was like, oh my God. I said, this is really good. Then, fast forward later, he's the bad guy. They spray paint gray hair.
Spray painted his hair.
They put white hair on him.
Yeah.
And his face still looks plasticky. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh my God. But I kind of like the character. Like I said, like, it came full circle, right? He knew they were doing dirty stuff. He got out of it. Comes back years later or decades later. It's the same guy. And now they're trying to kill him. The guy has so much influence in the FBI and higher ups and everything. Again, I thought he did a good job because he did interact with the good guy, right? He stabbed him with the true serum or whatever it was. I thought it worked out well. So I give him 3. I don't think he was like the best, but I give him 3.
By the way, this Henry Silva just passed away. 2022. He was 95 years old.
Oh, good for him.
Lived a long life. A long life wearing a mask. Henry Silva. Okay, Zagan. I gave him a 2. I gave him a 2. He's at the beginning. You're right. He's in the little hut. He's ruthless. He's evil. He's trying to get this information, whatever, you can give him a little shot. They get into a little scuffle. And then he's just, you know, when you think of what is he trying to do in this? First, well, I can't wait to talk about storyline. Because I'm like, what the hell is this? What is going on? What is he trying to do here? He's trying to kill a priest from South America who knows, who has information on him committing war crimes. That's what he's trying to do.
Oh, and he's trying to kill the senator.
Yeah, well, but yeah, the reason, like the whole thing with the church, there's like, oh, well, we'll have to wait till storyline. Anyway, that's like, he did war crimes. He's a war criminal. And I think that's what that early scene is supposed to like let on. Like, oh, this guy does, you know, things you're not supposed to do when you're in war. So he's a war criminal. And then you're right. Like, so they did the reverse. So for Seagal to make him look younger, they just glued some sideburns on him. And then this guy to make him older, they spray painted his hair gray a little bit. So I'm like, okay, cool. He's now like, he's still in the CIA. He's high up. But I don't know. I just felt like he was kind of bland. I didn't like his performance. I thought he was very like, I don't know. I thought he was kind of whack. And then at the end, they get Seagal in the chair. They put the zip ties on him. And he's like, gives him the shot. And he's, you know, his bad acting. He's like, can't do it. Like when he was waking up from the coma in Hard to Kill. He's doing all this weird stuff. My man just busts out of there and puts him in a chokehold and dead. And he's dead. And that's it. He's just so a little underwhelming. I give him a 2. I don't know. Again, this is similar to the lead. Like, I'm not necessarily disagreeing with you. I just didn't do anything for me. So.
But he's a typical 80s villain. Yes. If you really look at him, he's very 80s villain.
100%.
If we put him, he looked like he could be, that character could have been played by Michael Ironside.
Yes. I would have liked it better. I love Michael Ironside.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he could have played him, or my man, what's his name? Richard Dick, or whatever his name is, from RoboCop. He played the bad guy. He was the captain in Beverly Hills Cop. Ronnie Cox, something like that.
The black guy?
No, the white guy.
Oh, the white guy.
He played the one who made the Ed 209 in RoboCop.
Yeah, I can't think of his name right now. But yeah, anybody like that could have played him. Any of those guys could have played him. You're right. I would have liked it better if any of them played him.
RoboCop.
So yeah, I give him a 2.
Ronnie Cox. Yeah, I was right.
Ronnie Cox.
Yeah.
Ronnie Cox would have been good. Yeah. Michael Ironside would have been really good.
Michael Ironside. This is his character written all over.
Spray paint his hair gray. He definitely seems like he would do some war crimes. So, all right. Action scenes. Alex, what did you think of the action in this?
So this is very 80s action.
Yes.
Very 80s action. I'm going to give it a 4. I don't think it's like the best 80s action that I've seen. And I've seen a lot. This one's not up there, but it does give you a lot of action scenes. You got car chases. You got parking lot chases, shootouts. You got Steven Seagal versus five dudes in an Arab store, whipping ass. But again, I guess because we've seen a lot of his movies back to back to back, I feel like it's the same choreography. I don't know if you feel the same thing, like what I mean, like if you understand what I mean, because I feel like everyone's getting the Seagal clothesline of death. Mm-hmm. Like they go run up to me, he's like, and then they flip over. Karate
chops people.
Yeah, and then they slapping them, throwing them here, throwing them there. And I don't know, I just felt like, see, Jackie Chan does a lot of the same stunts, but they're different in every aspect. And at least he's doing it. This one, I feel like it's just the same five dudes run up to him. And then he's clotheslining one. Then he's throwing one into the glass. Then he throws one to the floor. Then he snaps one. And then he does the best pressure point thing. Yeah. And then undercover meet dudes.
That was undercover meet dudes.
Yeah. Like, so like, I it was weird because like that shootout, it just felt 80s. I don't know how to explain it. Like it just, like just he's shooting. Yeah. It just felt off at certain things. Like I couldn't give it a perfect because I'm like, eh. And then the shootout in the apartment, right? Where Pam Grier gets shot with the shotgun.
Yeah.
And he was like, no. And he's like shooting and she went like slow motion backwards and then down the stairs.
It's like Hard to Kill. What is this? Every movie, people getting shot with shotguns in slow motion.
And but if she was in, okay. So I shot a shotgun, right? And I'm like, she was distanced away from that dude, but she got full close, like shot. Yeah. Like if you look at the pattern, I was just like, it looked like she got shot close up, but she was literally like 20 feet from the guy and she flew. And I was just like, geez.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very, very movie. So I was just like, okay, that's one thing I do like about modern action. Like now you see the velocity of these rounds getting hit with these guys. Cause back then in the 80s, like I'll shoot you from a 50 yard with a shotgun and you're flying through 10 doors. And you're like, what? This is weird. But that's the one thing I do like. But anyway, all in all, I give it a 4. I thought it was great.
Yeah, I think our man Andrew Davis came through pretty well. You know, yeah, I don't think he's, you know, he's not like got the greatest eye, but he knows how to shoot action. And I gave it a 4 as well. I thought it was good. And I respect to Steven Seagal. He definitely was on the roof of that car at that one part because there's some wide shots and you could see it was him. A lot of times you could see, especially 80s and 90s movies, you could see when they switch out to the stunt double. I think they do a way better job of masking it in modern movies.
Yeah.
Or at least get people who actually look like the people. Back then, they would just be like throwing a wig on somebody and be like, this is Steven Seagal. So respect to him. He was on the roof of that car. I also love the part where that little gang comes up on him and they want to fight him. He chops that dude's hand off with the machete. Hilarious.
Oh, yeah, that was pretty cool.
It's like it happens so quick and then they don't really show the aftermath, but then there's a wide shot and you can just see the fake hand on the floor, like sitting there. It's hilarious. But I like that part and he chases that guy. Now, I will say this. Steven Seagal might have the worst run of any of the like act. His wrists were just like, he was flopping them things. And I'm like, why would he put a scene in a movie where he has to run if he runs like that? Now, eventually he fixed his run as he's going, but I would challenge you to go back, watch the start of that foot chase and just watch his arms flop around. Horrible. Hilarious. I was cracking up. But yeah, I give it a 4. I thought there's a good amount. You're right. There's a car chase. There's foot chase. There's shooting. There's his terrible Aikido. I will agree with my brother. This is the worst martial art. It's not fun to watch. Like all you do is throw people out the way. Like you just dodge and like scoot out the way. So not very exciting, not high impact. It makes choreography tough because like what is the other person supposed to do? Just throw a punch and get flipped over? Like it's not that cool. So yeah, repetitive in his movies. I agree with you. That's why his best stuff, like Under Siege, was like one of the best because he has the double Uzis. Like, give him something to do other than flip people over. You know what I mean?
Was a chef.
Yeah, and he was a chef. And he was just out here cooking and shooting. So, you know, I gave it a 4 as well. You gave it a 4. All right, here's the part I want to talk about. What did you think of the storyline here?
It was good. It was good. I think it could be better if they remake this movie. I'm not lying. I think it could be good. And if they get someone like Keanu Reeves to play this character of above the law, I think it would be pretty cool. I don't know, Keanu Reeves, I think some other person or whatever. But anyway, all jokes aside, I think what I would do is, the movie I thought was really good in terms of like a special ops vet, Vietnam vet, then turns Chicago PD and then goes through like an undercover CIA wrongdoing. Like it was so much plot points in this damn thing. And I was just like, gee, this is a lot for like one movie. But they told it very well. I liked it. I was engaged. I'm not going to lie. I think Pam Grier's character kept Steven Seagal in check, meaning her good acting overshadowed his horrible acting. And I kind of like that. I guess that the pairing of the two worked very well. Now, in terms of the storyline, yeah, I think it could have been better. I think it would have been 100 times better. I wanted to see more from the villain's point of view. Like, what's so good? You know what I mean? Like, what diabolical schemes was he going to do? Like, I wanted to see the whole plot of him trying to kill the senator. You know what I mean? Like, I wanted to see that. And then he comes in and unfolds that. Like, we didn't get that. It was just after this damn priest, which I was like, who the hell is this damn priest? And it was like, the priest knows that we're about to, who did you talk? He knows we're going to kill the senator. And I'm like, from when? Like, that whole thing was weird. Like, that was not told very well. And that's why I gave it the score that I did, because I'm like, that felt like they just threw it there to throw it in. Because that storyline could have just been told without that. You know, it could have been a scene with the bad guys in around the table. And he's like, you know what? Let's kill the senator because he's doing a law that's going to screw up our business or something. You know, that's something you could do. And then Steven Seagal comes upon this dude and he goes, hey, I remember this plastic face guy from when I worked in the military. And I would be like, this is cool, you know? But they didn't. They went down the route with the priest and all this. And I was just like, that's weird. Didn't work for me in that sense. You're right. Sharon Stone should not have been in this movie. She's hot, but she shouldn't have been in this movie because she had nothing to do in this movie. I thought they were going to kidnap her, maybe. Could have been something like a Lethal Weapon type of movie that he has to save his family at the same time trying to save the senator. I mean, oh, this is actually pretty cool. We didn't get that. So it was, I don't know. It's like a love or hate I have with this movie because I think it's a very well 80s movie. I'm not saying it's not. This is a very well 80s movie, and I think it's a pretty good storyline for an 80s film. So I'm going to give it a 3. Like I said, I think it's a good storyline.
All right. If I had to use one word to describe this, it would be convoluted. This movie is very convoluted. There's a lot of, you're right. You know, in your description, you describe exactly how I felt about it, where I was constantly asking questions. Oh, everything is why. Why are they going after this priest? What is up with the priest in the first place? And they're trying to blow up this church. And then like, why are you trying to blow up a church? And then there's drug dealers involved. And then you're trying to find the drug dealer. They have C4. Why do they have this C4? How'd they get it? Who gave it to them? And then it turns out it's a CIA guy because the guy knows secrets about him. And then there's politicians involved. And then it's like they try to throw everything. I feel like, and I'm going to blame this on the fact that, again, Steven Seagal, a writer on this movie, never really made anything in Hollywood before. I think they try to throw a lot at the wall and just see what sticks. But I think that they felt everything stuck and they just put it all in the movie. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I was not into it. There was too much going on and it wasn't always super clear what was going on. Yeah, you're right. Stuff felt tacked on. Like, let's just put this. Like, were you trying to do a kind of, because it seemed like they were trying to do, first it's going to be like a military type movie, you know, like military, CIA, cover-ups and all that. Okay. But then it also seemed like they wanted to make it a buddy cop movie with him and Pam Grier going around Chicago, trying to solve this case. So I'm like, what are you? Like, what kind of movie are you? And so it ends up being kind of just a mishmash of stuff. I gave it a 2. I just couldn't get into it. I was very much confused a lot of times. And I don't like feeling like I don't know exactly what's going on. It's one thing if it's like one of those movies that's like intentionally weird. I just think this had too much in the script and could have cut. And the thing is, like, it's not a long movie. Again, 90 minutes or so.
Yeah.
But they could have, I wish they picked a lane. Pick a lane. Either go with the whole CIA cover up and make him a cop, but don't add that other kind of buddy cop type layer to it. Or do that. Make it a buddy cop movie where, you know, they stumble upon this whole CIA guy conspiracy, but they try to do both and it didn't always work for me. So 3 for you, 2 for me. Go ahead.
It felt very, I know I'm going to say it, but it felt very Lethal Weapon 1.
That was executed, right? Better.
Well, 100 times better. But if you really look at that storyline, right, Riggs and Murtaugh stumble upon the army and the drug thing, right? And now they're in, you know, they can't get off the case because now they're involved in the whole thing.
That's perfect. So, that's perfect.
This is way...
They added the part of the past stuff where he was in the CIA, but then they don't really cash in on it because you're telling me this guy went from a CIA in the military to just a cop, a regular Chicago PD. You're right. I that's a good comp in a way that's done the way that this should have. and they did it a little different.
But if you look at it, it's the same characters, right? If you look at it from my point of view, Pam Grier is Murtaugh. Martin Riggs was a special Navy or whatever, Navy SEAL or whatever when he was. Special Forces Ranger in Lethal Weapon. And Steven Seagal is a Vietnam Special Ops.
Yes.
Same fucking storylines.
Yes, but the difference is that they did not show Riggs in the war.
No. But they hinted his story. Yeah, exactly. I totally
agree. And that messes it up. And also, Murtaugh is like, has way more story. Pam Grier got nothing here. She's just the sidekick.
She's a single.
So you can make the comp. I'm not disagreeing with you, but to the point of that movie's so much better because of how it does everything. This is like the Diet Coke Zero version.
I see that.
Needs the sugar. Give me the sugar. Yeah. All right. Overall, what did you give this one?
All right. So overall, I'm going to give it a 3. I thought it was a good movie. Way better than Hard to Kill. I don't care what anyone tells
Hard
me.
Hard to Kill.
Hard to Kill was hard to watch.
There you go.
Our brain synced on that one.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I think this movie was actually really good. I enjoyed it for what it was. I think it could have got fixed. I believe some of these movies that we've been watching could be remade. But again, if it needs and warrants the remake, I don't think remaking every movie like we're getting now works. But I think certain movies could benefit from the modern writing and enhancing storytelling could work. This one, I believe, could. They did Death Wish, which didn't need a remake. This one, I think, could get upgraded and done pretty well. Out for Justice, another storyline could be told very well. And I think, I'll be honest with you, I would even say if you could get director like Martin Scorsese to play it, because that's a very type of his storyline, like Goodfellas type of
story. Yeah, you got literally like mob, mafia.
Martin Scorsese doing Out for Justice would be like, you'd be like, holy shit. You'd be like, yo, this is cinema.
This is art.
Film. So I think that would work. But anyway, I enjoyed this movie a lot. I thought it was really good. Steven Seagal wasn't as corny as the other movies that we've seen. Very thin, like skinny Steven Seagal in this one. His running, the Tom Cruise run, does not work in this movie at all. But all in all, I enjoyed it for what it was. This movie, Under Siege, Out for Justice, Above the Law, were my favorite ones in this month. I'm going to be hands down. Now, if I have to put them in order, it would be Out for Justice number one. Then comes Under Siege, then Above the Law, and then Hard to Kill. I could care less. Because I really like Out for Justice. I think the villain in that movie is what made that movie. So yeah, I gave this movie a 3.
I gave it a 2. But I think you're more on target with the consensus. This movie, the funny thing about this movie is like, it did okay when it came out, but it grew sort of a following afterward as far as like 80s action movies goes. It is one of his more popular movies in general. I didn't love it as much. I gave it a 2. I don't know. It didn't jive for me personally. I 1,000,000% agree with you. This is the type of movie that if they could remake it, no problem, because this movie had a lot of flaws. You know, fixable. You know, there are movies similar to it, but you could literally like use the title again, Above the Law, and do it better. Out for Justice, I agree with you. I love it as it is. I will absolutely watch that movie again, but I also, they could remake it with certain, like with a better actor in the lead role who could kind of play that New York. He tried his best, but who could play that New York guy, cop, who's like grew up with them. It could be so good. And the one that we have, it's like cheesy, but awesome. And they could make it just straight up good, honestly. So yeah, I agree with that sentiment as well. But yeah, I thought this movie was okay. It was just okay. By the end of it, I was like, okay, it's whatever. It's definitely better than Hard to Kill. Like, Hard to Kill is horrible. I don't think this movie is horrible, but it has flaws. At least it has good action, though. The lead character is good enough to watch. Like, it misses for the most part for me, but Hard to Kill misses in every respect. There's nothing good in that movie. Like, I really hated it. So I would probably rank them similar to you as well. All right. So what is your total points? A couple points higher than mine.
17. Out of 25.
I have a 13 out of 25. Yeah, I was hoping I liked it better just because I knew of the kind of the following of it, but it is what it is. We're done with Steven Seagal though, Alex. We're moving on. So let me tell you what we got coming up. Next week, we will be continuing on with the Police Story movies with Police Story 2 starring Jackie Chan. And then we have a new month. It's June. It's time to start a new one. Here are the titles we're going to be doing. First up will be a movie called Black Mask. Then we're going to be doing a little Unleashed. Then we will be watching The Forbidden Kingdom, and then we will be watching Fearless. If you're listening at home, these are all movies that star the one, the only Jet Li. So we're going into next month's like almost full martial arts, except for the very last week, because we're doing Jackie Chan movies and Jet Li movies at the same time. And the fun thing is The Forbidden Kingdom stars both of them, Jackie Chan and Jet Li.
That's cool.
Yeah. So Super Cop 4 and The Forbidden Kingdom will be the same week. And then the other movie will be moving on to our next like franchise. But I thought that was a good way to kind of end one franchise and continue on with the Jet Li month. So of these movies, how many of them have you seen?
None.
Okay. I've seen 3 out of 4. I've never seen Black Mask. And this was like his first one that put him on the map here in America. I don't think it's an American movie, but it's the one that like kind of made him more well known. Yeah. It was in the mid 90s. And then after that, he did like Lethal Weapon 4. And then he started doing all those movies, you know, where he was the star. So I've seen Unleashed, directed by our boy Louis Leterrier, who of course directed The Incredible Hulk with Edward Norton. And he directed Transporter 2 and Fast and Furious 10. And then The Forbidden Kingdom, that is like, that is an interesting one. That's Jackie Chan and Jet Li. And it's one of those like, it's like a fantasy type martial arts movie. And then Fearless is, I wanted to pick one of each type of genre. And Fearless is one of those like Asia, like a classic, what are they called? Like wuxia type Chinese movies. So like, you know, wire work and all that kind of stuff. Ancient China. That's where that movie takes place. So yeah, we're going to be doing a little bit of Black Mask is like sci-fi action. Unleashed is like R-rated hard action. Forbidden Kingdom, fantasy action. Fearless, classic ancient China action.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Yeah, I never seen none of those films. So that's going to be pretty fun. First time watches. I like doing first time watches.
Same. Yeah, I like when we watch them for the first time because then it's like discovering. I do like doing ones I know, but I like discovering movies.
Yeah. All right, guys. If you guys want to follow us in our social media accounts, please follow me over on Instagram at Netflix Reviews. Anything ANG Podcast, we are on Instagram at Geeks and Flicks. And of course, you can follow the podcast over on YouTube on our YouTube channel at Action Movie Guys, or you can take us on the go with YouTube Music or Apple Music, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Pandora. Any way you listen to your podcast on, we are on that station. Now, if we're not, let us know, email us, and then we'll put our podcast there. Other than that, he is your host,
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
I'm its co-host, Alex Figueroa. Be awesome to each other and geek out.